Christmas is here again. Christmas, the most wonderful and delightful holiday of the year. And we who love the Lord Jesus Christ have pulled our minds and bodies away from the planning, baking, shopping, wrapping of gifts to spend time thinking about that first Christmas. We're here today to celebrate his birthday. In his book, The Mood of Christmas, Howard Thurman said, despite all the merit that there is in the scholarly and reverential researches into the facts concerning the historical Jesus, they do not, nor can they, explain him adequately. What is most compelling about him is not so much the way in which he resembled his fellows, but the way in which he differed from all the rest of them. Jesus Christ was different. He was different because he existed before the world began. Of whom, other than the Christ child, could Isaiah have prophesied? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Jesus was the Son of God, the long-awaited Savior of the world, the Messiah who was to reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it with justice and righteousness from the time of his birth and forever.
Jeremiah proclaimed, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land." Micah added, "Lord, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place." He also prophesied that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem, a tiny village in Judah, the town of David. In God's own time, he sent the angel Gabriel to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and his name shall call his name Jesus. The angel appeared to her fiancé too, and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Caesar Augustus had no idea he was fulfilling God's plan when he issued the decree that all the world should be taxed, but he was. That census took Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, where the Savior of the world was to be born.
Speculate on Mary's thoughts as the time for her delivery drew near. Normally, a young woman delivering her firstborn would have her mother nearby, and aunts, neighbors, perhaps a midwife she'd known all her life. Mary was leaving the warm, familiar spot called home. Surely she would bear her child amid strangers. Only Joseph would be there. Joseph, what could a man do? And we can speculate that her heart was calmed by the word she had heard 9 months before. Fear not. Everything would be all right. Tomorrow they would go. The long-awaited Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. They had best be on their way.
Thank you. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be should have had my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong.
In our mind's eye, we can see the quiet little town of Bethlehem, lights twinkling in the distance. We can envision the shepherds sitting quietly on the hillside, perhaps around campfires to warm their hands or their suppers. But who can conjure up as magnificent a sight as an angel appearing suddenly, all aglow? And not only one angel, but a few moments later, a whole multitude of angels praising God. No wonder the simple shepherds were afraid. Herbert F. Brookering describes it as glory bursting into sprays and splashes. Surely it was a magnificent sight. displaying the far exceeding the finest of fireworks. Angels coming down to earth to humble shepherds. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." As suddenly as that he had appeared, the angels were gone. Awestruck, the shepherds looked at one another and then at the clear night sky. We wondered who dared to break the reverential hush. Who spoke first? Someone whispered, "Let's go to Bethlehem."
Angels from around the glory. Jesus is the source of all true rejoicing. Even before he was born, the two women who shared the greatest secret of all time rejoiced together. When John the Baptist was born, 6 months before Jesus, his father Zechariah rejoiced, not over his own son, but over the unborn child who was to come and redeem his people. We know that Mary and Joseph rejoiced over their firstborn, and soon the skies over the fields near Bethlehem were filled with angels rejoicing, followed by the happy shepherds and townspeople who rejoiced when they heard the good news. The birth of Jesus was good news. From the day Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, mankind had a longing to return to the lost fellowship with God. But how could they? Heaven was too high to reach. No matter how hard they tried, they could never reach up to God. He had to reach down to them. That was the good news. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Something strange about the Christmas story. Once the baby is born and laid in the manger, no one ever thinks again about the census. Scripture says no more about it. But they did go to Bethlehem to be registered. The questions must have been typical. Name? Joseph. Address? I live in Nazareth. Occupation? I'm a carpenter. Married? Yes. Name of spouse? Mary. Names of offspring? Only one. His name is Jesus. His shoulders must have been squared, his head held high as he repeated this name. But if he had told the census taker that one day every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, the man would have dropped his feather quill and roared in laughter. Jesus was just another name on the roll, a baby boy born to a peasant couple the night before.
As you think about the name above all other names, and as you listen to the wonderful story of Jesus' birth, what kind of response is welling up in your heart? You might be like Elizabeth, who recognized Jesus for who he really was and praised God for him. Of course, you might be like Zechariah, who had waited so long he got used to doubting and found it hard to believe. Possibly you're an unbeliever, just riding along on the excitement of Christmas, but scoffing at the Christ. Or are you like the census taker, for whom Jesus' birth was just one more ho-hum event in life? What you think of Jesus is of eternal importance. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved.
Real world and get back to work, and all along the way, probably for the rest of their lives, they spread the good news concerning the birth of the Savior. They talked about Jesus wherever they went. That's the real key to rejoicing. Talking about Jesus will keep the sparkle in your eye and the spring in your step. That's the real Christmas spirit. Spread the word everywhere you go and talk about Jesus the Lord, who came into the world to save us from our sins.
Nature's sing.
gather to celebrate the birth of Jesus. He was the long-awaited Messiah. He was God's only begotten Son. His birth was divinely appointed, and his life was unequaled. His death and his resurrection give us salvation. Because of this, believers in Jesus Christ can never celebrate his coming without also thinking about what he did for us before he left our world. Today is no different. As much as we want to rejoice at what happened in the stable in Bethlehem, we also want to remember what happened on a hill called Calvary.
There's a cross behind the manger that all must come to see. The baby lying in the hay came to die for you and me. There's a tomb behind the manger sealed with a door of stone. The Christ child came to give his life for sins that are not his own. There's a tomb behind the manger standing empty and bare. Death cannot hold the Son of God. You will not find him there. There's heaven behind the manger. Its gates are opened wide. The babe of Bethlehem goes in and bids us with him abide. Jesus is the only reason for Christmas jubilation. Without his death and resurrection, there's no cause for celebration.
May the Christmas season give you opportunity to look beyond the manger, to see in the Christ child, your Savior and Lord. May you find in him your reason to celebrate.
Today we sang and we heard again a story. It's a familiar story for many of us, I know. Probably all of us have heard this story at one time or another. But you know, it's funny, sometimes we can hear a story, we've heard it, and then one day all of a sudden it clicks and it finally makes sense. We see something we didn't see before. We understand something that we didn't understand before. So I pray if there is someone here today, maybe this is the day when you have seen something you didn't see before. You've understood something you didn't understand before. You know, it's funny, just yesterday, I was here, I was in the back of the sanctuary there, and in the back there are thermostats, one back there and one over there, and there are plastic coverings over those thermostats. I was checking it to see how the temperature was in here. And would you believe, I've been here 9 years, and I looked at that covering over the thermostat, and for the first time in 9 years, I noticed there's a big sticker on the side of it down in one corner that says Honeywell. It took me 9 years to notice that big sticker on the cover there. Now, some of you ladies are thinking, it's not surprising that a man could look at something for 9 years and not see it. But there it was. It took me 9 years to notice, and now that I know it's there, it's extremely obvious. And I wonder, maybe today is the story that you've heard many times, but God's Spirit has made it obvious and clear in your heart for the first time. What is it that's been made clear? Well, it's this, that Christmas, it isn't about decorations and trees. It's not even about family. It's really not even about the spirit of giving. It's about the gift that was given to us by God, the Almighty Creator of the universe. Why? So that you can know Him and be known by Him. That you can love Him and be loved by Him. The Scriptures tell us that we have a problem as human beings, every single one of us. That problem is that we are in rebellion against God. Scripture says it's sin. We're all sinners. We do wrong. And because of that, there's a consequence for that. It's being alienated from God now, not really knowing God, and being separated forever from Him. But Christmas is about God doing something about that problem. Because God is love, He sent a Savior. Because God is holy, perfect, without sin, He sent a perfect Savior in Jesus Christ. That baby grew up and He became a man who lived a perfect life for you and for me that God requires, morally perfect. He then gave His life on the cross for you and for me in order that we might know Him and dwell and live forever with Him. And that gift is received. Any gift has to be received, doesn't it? How do we receive this gift? It's by faith. Believing in our heart and our mind and our whole being and saying, yes, Lord, I believe this. I know that I'm a sinner. I do wrong. I turn away from that now. I believe Jesus died for me. I receive that gift now by faith. Help me then now to live for you each day. That's the real meaning of Christmas. And I pray that that story, maybe it made sense for the first time today for you. For others that you know that and you understand that, would you rejoice in that today? That God knows you and loves you, and because of Jesus, you know God and love Him forever. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time here today. It is a familiar story, but Lord, it is a story that brings great joy in our hearts when we reflect upon You who was holy and righteous, looked at us, saw us in our sin and rebellion, and in Your love sent a Savior who lived that perfect life, gave His life for us on the cross, died and was buried, and rose again that by faith we might join with Him and join with You forever, forgiven recipients of all blessing. Thank You, Lord, for that. If there's someone here today, Lord, who has believed that for the first time, thank You, Lord. Strengthen, encourage that person now to learn what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.